Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you. We have several visitors with us, and we're especially glad that you are here. I have to make mention of this. Many of you may recall years ago, Luke Douthat, one of our college students, and he is with us this morning. It's been quite a while since he's been back this way, and he is married now, and his wife is with him, and also some friends of theirs, and we're just very happy to have them with us, and happy to have all of the visitors with us. We're glad that you have taken time to worship God with us this day. And what we're trying to do and be here is a New Testament church. We're trying to do our best to follow the teaching of the New Testament and to correct our lives individually and collectively, our work and worship, that it might conform to the Scriptures. So we are very happy that you are here with us and helping us this morning in that pursuit. Jeremy has led us in the song service in some songs that focus our attention upon prayer. And last Sunday morning, if you recall, we talked about the importance of prayer. And we made the observation last week that a poor prayer life is a sign of a major problem. And it's not something to be treated lightly. It is a fact that many of God's people will acknowledge that their prayer life is not everything that they would like it to be, everything that it should be. And so we began to address that particular problem last Sunday, and we asked this question, why should we pray? And we emphasized that prayer is a commandment of God, and so we need to obey God in everything. Just for that reason alone, we need to be praying without ceasing that activity. Also, we emphasized that prayer is intended as a means for us to express our gratitude to God. We must be grateful. We must be appreciative to God for the good things that He gives to us. Prayer also is one way that we show a concern for other people, and we need to be praying not just for ourselves, but for the needs of other people, look outside of ourselves. And also, we made the point that a poor prayer life affects other areas of a person's life. If we are not praying the way that we should be, I will guarantee you that it will manifest itself in areas of your life or my life where we're not giving due attention, because one way that we give due attention is by focusing on that particular area of our life in prayer. So these are some reasons, not an exhaustive reason, why we should be praying. I want to talk with you this morning, though, about the fact that we don't pray so often, even though we know all these reasons. And sometimes there are just some reasons that people have for why they don't pray. And so I want to ask the question this morning, why is it that we sometimes don't pray the way that we ought to? Let me suggest, first of all, the reason that people would give is God just doesn't answer prayer. Let's just get right down to it, folks. I mean, a major reason why people don't pray to God is they don't believe in it. It doesn't work. God doesn't answer prayer. It doesn't do any good. In their minds, and people will very often say this, I'm just talking to the ceiling, that's all that it is. And so to actually bow one's head and to talk to God just sort of amounts to just some foolish kind of gesture because God doesn't answer prayer. And that's how a lot of people think. I know that atheists think that. The atheist says that prayer is futile, that God doesn't answer prayer because the atheist says there is no God at all. And he sees no evidence for God. That's what he says. But what we also see is that believers in God don't pray. And sometimes, just like the atheist, there are people who believe in God, who say they believe in God, who come to worship services on a regular basis and worship God and maybe collectively pray with the group. But in their personal life, there are believers who don't pray. And that's just like the atheist when you stop and think about it. And I would suggest to you that the atheist and the believer in God who do not pray because they are saying that God doesn't answer prayer, they are thinking in exactly the same way. And the problem with both of these individuals, the atheist and the believer alike, is that they're wanting some kind of empirical evidence that proves that that praying act is really something that is real and not just some false little exercise, and it's not just talking to the ceiling. The believer, just like the atheist, who doesn't pray because God doesn't answer my prayer, they're thinking exactly the same. They want some kind of empirical evidence to prove it. And there isn't any empirical evidence, and so the believer then stops praying. You know, it is certainly a fact that when we pray in accordance with what the Bible teaches us, there is no audible response that we get from God. That'd be nice if it would be the case that when we would talk to God, we would all hear Him speak back to us. Now, there are some occasions where God in history has spoken audibly to people, but that was a unique kind of circumstance. And generally, that's in cases where those people were functioning as God's prophets. And so He was giving some kind of special revelation to them in that direct way. But the Bible doesn't teach that God is going to audibly speak to us, or that there's going to be some voice in our head that we're going to hear and that we're going to be able to say, well, that's God talking to me. Now, I know there are a lot of people in the world who would claim to be Christians who say that God talks to me all the time, and they would mean by that that there's a voice that they hear in their head, or at least the thoughts that they're thinking in their mind, they attribute that to God. But I would affirm to you that's not what the Bible teaches as the way that God normally is going to communicate with people. He communicates through His inspired word, the scriptures, having spoken to those particular individuals who were His special prophets. And in fact, those people who say that the thought in my head is actually God talking to me, one major problem with all of that is that you've got different people who teach and practice different things and claim that God has laid that on their heart or shared this on their heart, and yet they are teaching and practicing and believing and supposedly hearing completely oppositical things. God doesn't work that way. God doesn't contradict Himself. So the bottom line problem with that kind of individual is he needs to understand that no, God is not going to speak back to us when we pray or talk to us in some audible way or some mental way. That's not the way that it works. And so because that's the way that it is, then you don't have that immediate feedback. And so people say, well, God doesn't hear my prayer. God doesn't answer prayer. What's the point? It's just a vain exercise. Now, also I will say to you that we have to acknowledge when you pray, there's not going to be some special feeling that's going to come upon you. That's going to be some signal from God that He's there and He's listening. Oh, it'd be nice if that's the way that God worked. That maybe when you prayed, each time you prayed, there might be some special euphoria that comes over you. There might be some special feeling that would just signify to you that God's presence is right there, some kind of miraculous operation. But again, that's not what the Bible is saying that God is going to do. And God nowhere in the Bible promises that if you pray the way that you should, that you're going to have some special good feeling and God's going to miraculously do that with you and give you that kind of empirical direct evidence that He's there and He's listening. That's not what the God of the Bible claims. And so again, that's what makes it difficult for people to then pray because, well,
I don't have any sense that God is there, that God is listening. I need hard evidence. I need empirical proof. That's what the atheist is demanding. And very often that's exactly what believers demand also. And if they don't get that, and since, as we've seen, that's not the practice, and we don't get that from God, then people say, well, then I might as well not even bother praying because it doesn't work and God didn't answer prayer. And just to kind of turn the screw a little bit tighter, I will acknowledge to you that you can't even look at the circumstances of life and determine from those circumstances whether or not, for sure, God caused those circumstances because of your prayer. I want to say that again. Positive events in one's life, they don't necessarily, folks, prove that God is behind that and has answered your prayer. That may seem like a shocking thing for me to say, but it's true. The fact of the matter is, and an atheist is going to point this out, that every time a believer in God and a believer in prayer makes a statement like, oh, well, I know that God hears my prayer because I've seen it work time and time again. We have prayed, or I have prayed for so-and-so to get better, and we've had many people at church who've been sick, and they've gotten better. So that's proof that God is behind all that, and He's answered our prayers. And an atheist is going to say in response to that, but you know what? There are alternative ways to explain that. Maybe it was just chance. The person got better. And you know what, folks? It could be. People sometimes are sick and they get better. And maybe sometimes, and this is what an atheist is going to say to you, maybe sometimes, okay, sometimes you pray and the person gets better. Another time you pray, the person doesn't get better. Maybe the whole thing's just happenstance anyway. And you know what? You can't just point to those events and say with certainty, absolute certainty, oh no, that's evidence that God has answered my prayer. And you know what? The Bible teaches that. The Bible acknowledges that point. That's what is said in the book of Ecclesiastes several times, that you can't somehow look at the events of life and determine from those events that God is behind that, or He's done this, or this is why that event occurred, because God was behind this and choosing to do that. You can't do that, because time and chance do happen to every man. And so, even positive events that occur in a person's life, that doesn't provide some hard, fast evidence that God has answered that person's prayer. And I acknowledge that. And the Bible teaches that. And so you might be thinking at this point, well, my goodness, I thought this preacher was supposed to be trying to give us reasons why we should be praying and should be believing that God answers prayer. All he's doing is pointing out all the reasons why people don't believe in prayer and don't believe that God answers prayer. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm pointing out. And all of these points here are absolutely true. There isn't going to be an audible response when you and I pray to God. We're not going to get some special, miraculously sent feeling that comes upon us. And nor can we look at the events in our life and necessarily use that as evidence proving that God has answered my prayer. All of those things are true. Well, then why or how is it that we know that God answers prayer then? Do you know how we know that? There's one reason. And really, when you boil it down, one reason only, how we know that God answers prayer. He's told us that He does. Jesus said He does. Jesus said He does. And that's what Jesus was explaining to Pilate when He talked to Pilate about what his mission was in John chapter 18. Yes, he was the Son of God. Yes, he was a king. He wasn't a king of this world, but he was a king. And for this he was born, that people might know the truth. And part of the truth that Jesus revealed about God is that God does indeed exist, and God does indeed hear our prayers, and God does indeed respond to those prayers. Jesus said, yes, he does. And we can trust Jesus in knowing what he's talking about, because Jesus did those miracles that proved that he really was the Son of God. And the ultimate miracle of miracles was his own resurrection from the dead. If Jesus says, pray, because God hears your prayers. If Jesus says that, I think we can trust him. But folks, when it really boils down to it, this is what prayer and a proper prayer life and a motivation to have a proper prayer life is really all about. This is the basis of it. Because there's no direct empirical evidence for the power of prayer. It all boils down to Jesus and those prophets sent from God. They say, thus says the Lord, pray, because God hears your prayer. In Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13, Jesus had this to say about the importance of prayer and what exactly and how we can know that indeed God does hear and respond to our prayers. In Luke chapter 19, or rather Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 9, he says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." Now that's Jesus' affirmation. Now if you don't think that the resurrected Son of God is reliable enough as a witness, then don't pray. But if you believe he was resurrected from the dead, he believed, therefore, he's a reliable witness as to whether or not God in heaven hears prayer. Jesus said, yes, he does. And you ask, and you knock, and you seek. And all these things, indeed, will be given to you from God. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, powerful passage. The introduction to a parable that Jesus gives. A parable on prayer. And here Luke, the narrator, says that the reason why he was telling this parable was for this: to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Don't give up. Jesus recognized that his disciples very often might tend to lose heart and not pray the way they should. And Jesus said, you keep praying. In verse 8 of this same opening in Luke, he concludes the paragraph by asking this: when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And folks, this is really what it boils down to. And I think a lot of times people, even disciples of Jesus, they don't get this. They think the reason why you should pray is because you can somehow see empirically the results of those prayers. You may or may not see some positive things that occur to you that you regard as answers to your prayers. The point is, whether you see anything or not, Jesus said, God hears your prayers, pray. And don't give up on it. Because really when it all boils down, it all comes down to being a person of faith or not. And that's why Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people who have been believing in him and praying and continually praying without ceasing? Or is he going to find disciples who have stopped praying because they see no reason in their life to keep doing it? What's the point? We need to change the way we think, folks. We need to correct the way that we think. It ultimately just comes down to whether or not you believe the Son of God. Or you don't. Why don't people pray? Well,
Another related reason why people don't pray is it just takes so long to just get any kind of a result that you could even maybe tentatively say, well, that might be an answer to my prayer. It just takes such a long time for God to ever do anything that you can call a possible response. Well,
you know, that's something that I can be real sympathetic to, and I think when you look at the Bible, you see that this is something that God's people have always struggled with.
Psalm 13 is a good illustration of the kind of laments that you see throughout the Psalter. Let me just read the opening verses. Here's what the psalmist says. It's a godly person now. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Do you have times in your life where you just think, what's the point of praying? I've been praying in the past. It hadn't done anything. It hasn't accomplished anything. Is that the way you feel? That's the way the psalmist felt centuries ago. You're not unique in that. I'm not unique in that. That's part of what all disciples go through throughout the centuries, having to wait on God when He deems it the proper time to do whatever it is. And it is so difficult for us. But again, it all boils down to whether or not we're going to be a person of faith and put our trust in Him. Or as we talked about last week, whether we're going to be a person that demands that God fit our timetable.
In Luke chapter 18, again, verses 1 through 8, I want you just to go back and look at those verses. We didn't read the entire section. Look at all that Jesus says here as He emphasizes this.
I'm sorry, I meant to give Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 11 says, "Now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?"
And what Jesus says in this passage is that God does respond to our prayers. And even though the things that we observe in life don't seem to be an answer to our prayer, and God hadn't done anything about it, and it seems like we're just kind of talking, and it's just talking to the ceiling, what Jesus says is, once again, are you going to be a person of faith or not? Believe in Him. He's your heavenly Father. He loves you. He's not going to do bad things for you. He's going to do good things for you. Yeah, God takes a long time. But are we going to be people who keep praying even though God doesn't seem to be responding as soon as we would like?
Why don't people pray? Again, a related reason. If what has happened in my life is supposed to be God's response to my prayer, I sure didn't get what I wanted. You ever feel like that?
You ever pray fervently for something and it just didn't come about? You didn't get it?
You know what a lot of people do? Like the kid who was expecting the big present for Christmas, and he opens it up excitedly and it didn't turn out to be what he wanted, and he just goes away and just kind of sulks. That's what people do when it comes to prayer, when they don't get what they want.
Years ago,
there was this big present under the Christmas tree. It looked like the telescope box that I had seen at the store that I'd been bugging my dad to get me for Christmas. I wanted that telescope. Boy, it was going to be neat. I was going to be able to see Pluto, I thought. Little did I know. Just made the moon look a little bit bigger, but you know. But I thought, that's it. That's the telescope I want. Boy, that's just going to make my life wonderful.
There was the box, right size, right shape, everything. And it had a little tear on the corner. And I don't know how that tear got there. I can't even begin to imagine how it got there. But it just so happened that, you know, when you went over there and tried to see if you could kind of fix that tear, it got a little bit bigger instead of smaller. Right? And it just could kind of barely read some of the wording there. And I could tell. At last, it was scope. That last word, boy. That was great. Telescope, man. This is great. Christmas is in 2 weeks. I've got it.
Christmas came. Time to open up the present. I ripped open that box. Guess what it was? It was a scope. It was a microscope. A microscope.
And you know what Dad said to me? He said, well, Marty, the telescope was too expensive, but I got you this instead. This will be just as good.
Break. It's the last time I asked you for anything for Christmas. It's not really true, but.
But I sulked, and I was mad, man. That just ruined my Christmas, you know. And I acted like a big baby because I didn't get what I wanted. And that's the way we can act when we don't get the things that we want. The things that sometimes just seem so important from our perspective. Do you know who else made requests in prayer and didn't get what they wanted? Real quickly, Paul didn't get what he wanted. Prayed to the Lord 3 times. I don't know what his thorn in the flesh was, but it was a big deal to him. Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. Well, that sounds like my parents trying to give me some wonderful words of advice, you know. My grace is sufficient for you. Well, you know, that's not what Paul wanted to hear. Lord's answer was no. You're not getting what you wanted.
David begged God to spare the life of the innocent child who was only stricken with illness because of David's sin with Bathsheba. And he begged God and begged God and begged God, and the child still died. God's answer was no. But David accepted that. Job, in Job chapter 38, do you realize that Job never received an explanation from God as to why he had to go through all that suffering? Basically, God's response to Job, and it was a direct response, but basically it was, just put your hand over your mouth, Job. I'm not telling you what's been going on. Just put your faith in me. You know who else didn't get what they wanted when they prayed? Jesus. I mean, Jesus prayed 3 times, Father, please don't make me go through this. But always his attitude was, let thy will be done. And guess what God's will was? Jesus, you're going to suffer and it's going to be absolutely horrible. So much so that Jesus at one point cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? God didn't give them what they wanted. And folks, again, what it all boils down to is this. Do we have faith in God, and do we have faith in God's wisdom? Because ultimately, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, God works all things after the counsel of His will. And so we've got to accept the fact that if we don't get from God what we're asking for in our prayers, then there must be some good reason God has for that. And He doesn't have to explain what it is. And in most cases, we're not going to understand right here and now. But we've got to be people that say, I'm going to let God be God and trust His wisdom, and I'm going to keep praying and not reject Him and not sulk and not turn away from Him because I didn't get what I wanted and my life is so terrible. Let me give you one final reason why people don't pray. You ever felt like this? Start to pray, And then that just kind of makes you focus in on all those faults in your life. Not too comfortable, is it? To have to be reminded of the things in your life that you're guilty of. Maybe things in your life that you haven't addressed, things you haven't repented of. Maybe what it is that you're made to feel guilty about is the fact that you don't pray like you should. And so you finally start to try to pray. You know, the preacher preached that lesson this Sunday on prayer, so that kind of pricked your heart a little bit. So you start trying to pray, and it just makes you feel bad because you feel so guilty. It just reminds you of how unspiritual you have been. It reminds you of not having been praying. It reminds you of other things that you need to be addressing in your life that you haven't been addressing. And it was just more convenient to just ignore the whole issue and not talk to God about it, because every time you would talk to God, it would just remind you of the faults in your life. And that's one reason why people stop praying. They just feel guilty. And if they ever start to pray, it just makes them feel worse. Well, you know what, folks? That would make some sense, I suppose, on some level, if our God was just mean and unmerciful. But that's not how He is. And here's what the Apostle John says, guided by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He said, he's talking to Christians, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you know all that God asks of you to do? The only thing God asks of you to do is to just be willing to fess up to your faults. Now, that's a tall order for a lot of us because we're so prideful and we don't want to admit that we've been wrong. But all God wants us to do is just say, yes, Lord, I'm guilty of this. And maybe what you need to talk to God about is the fact that you've been guilty of ignoring Him and not praying for a long time. But the point John is making is that God is so merciful and so benevolent that He's willing to cleanse us from every sin that we have committed, bar none. We just have to talk to Him about it. That's all He asks you to do, is to acknowledge that to Him. And what's more, He'll even help us then to overcome those sins in the future. Don't use guilt as a reason to not be praying. Humble yourself and acknowledge your faults to God, and He will cleanse you of every taint, every bit of sin He'll remove from you. That's His promise. Are we praying the way that we should? We've talked about reasons that people have for not praying. And folks, it really just boils down to, do you believe in God and His promises or not? And if you're not praying the way that you should be, again, I emphasize to you, that's an imperative problem to be dealt with. You've got to deal with that and not put it off. But as I talked with somebody last week after services, and I've said this many times to people, whatever it is that you're struggling with, even if what you're struggling with is this whole business of praying, talk to God about that. If any of these reasons for not praying that we've talked about this morning, if they apply to you, talk to God about that. Again, so many of the prayers and the Psalms are exactly that, where the psalmists are talking to God about what they are struggling with, even when sometimes it's God and how He is answering or not answering their prayers. But be a person of faith. Can we help you this morning to make your life right with God in some way? If you have not been baptized into Jesus, can we assist you in that regard? If you're an erring disciple, can we go to God in prayer and assist you in that way? If your need is of a public nature this morning, won't you come? While together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.